The Literary Corner, Black Writers of the World, a series of analyses and interpretations of Black world literature. Today, a personal look at Haki Mahabuti. Mahabuti, formerly known as Don L. Lee, has been called one of the most radical of Afro-American poets of the 1960s and 70s because of his writings on Black nationalism. Today, you'll hear some of the events that shaped Mahabuti's life and made him the kind of writer he is. Here's Haki Mahabuti.
I came out of Black Bottom, Detroit, Michigan. I came out of a very impoverished family. I lost my mother very early at 16. She was an alcoholic. And by the time she was 35, she was dead. So I was on my own at 16. And I began to ask some very serious questions about life. And one of the major questions was, why did she have to die so young? And not only her, but other people that I loved and lived with died so young too. And there was essentially one or two questions that kept confronting me was, what will I do with my life? And will I die so young? And as I surveyed the Black community, especially in Detroit, that what we had was basically a lot of people with very little power, in fact, nothing. And we had a dominance of bars and liquor stores and churches. And what I began to see was that our lives evolved around in two areas. I know at my home, it was either partying all weekend, you see, and or in my grandparents' home, we were either in church all weekend and during the week. And so there was never any talk of we're going to college or going to university. In fact, my stepfather worked at Ford Motor Company. He was a 30-year man at Ford. And of course, this is one of my first experience with the whole labor movement and the quote-unquote so-called left movement. And if I was to get out of high school, I was to go to work for General Motors or Ford. And if my sister was to finish high school, which she didn't, by the time she was 14, she had her first child. She was to, you know, get a good man. And that was it. So I'm just saying that in terms of the type of urban situation I was raised in, it was not very beautiful. It was very difficult. It was very harmful. And it was not a game by any measure. So once I was out on my own, basically I left Detroit and went to Chicago. I finished high school in Chicago, trying to get a job. But at that time, I was same height, 6 feet, 1 inch, but I was about 131 pounds, and I couldn't find work anyplace. Every place I went to get a job, I don't care what it was, they would tell me, well, you're too thin, you know. I even tried to get into the Air Force, and I passed the mental exam, but I failed the physical exam. And that was kind of crushing, because here, a young man, I was 17 at that time, and didn't have anything to do, and really no family to speak of at that time, other than my sister, which she was younger than I. And I ended up joining a magazine-selling group. You know, what we would do is, we would go to these different homes and sell the magazines that was Life, and it even had Ebony at that time, and other magazines that were popular. And we would lie about, say, I'm trying to sell these magazines so I can go to college, all right? Now, this is the first time that college ever entered my mind. And so we traveled from Chicago going to St. Louis. And I got sick in St. Louis, and they left me in the hotel, Booker T. Washington Hotel in St. Louis.
Very appropriate.
So I'm coming to the end of this. But anyway, what happened is that I ended up in very bad shape. I pawned everything I had. I was playing trumpet at that time. I pawned my horn, pawned my only suit, my only coat, and everything else. And I sent half the money to my sister, and I kept half. And I tried to get into the Army Reserves. And my thinking was, if I can get into the Reserves, at least I could eat. I could get a meal three times a day. Well, anyway, they weren't taking Reserves. And I went down there, and they were only taking regular Army. I went in to take the physical, and knowing that something was caught in terms of a misbeat around my heart, what I did this time was I looked for the youngest doctor there, looking for an internist if possible. And I found one, and when he measured my heartbeat, he asked me what was wrong. I just told him I was nervous. And essentially I got through. So I ended up in the regular Army doing what I did, 2 years and 10 months in the Army. And this was my radicalization period, really. It was the first time I'd been around white people, and the first time I had been around them in mass. You see, we always had white teachers, had, you know, white insurance men, white police, white firemen, and so forth. But in terms of having to sleep with them and eat with them and so forth, this is my first real introduction. And being only 17, going on 18 at that time, it was a radical change. And during that period, I put myself on basically a very high-level reading and writing program, because coming out of the public school system, I was ill-equipped. And I learned to read in the Army, and I just began to devour books and basically looking for myself. You know, even though at 14 I had read Richard Wright and Chester Himes, but being so young, it did not stay with me. I read Black Boy. That was one of my first pieces of black literature. And I only read Black Boy because at that time it was very popular. And my mother sent me to the library to get the book, and I didn't want to get it because of the title, to show you where we were. But anyway, I ended up reading the book, and it did have some effect on me. So I had to just wanted to follow that through in terms of the black literature. And started writing basically in the Army. And writing because of the difficulty it was having, while at the same time trying to question this world. You know, why, you know, at that time we were talking about black people, 22 million and so forth. And the question that kept bothering me was, why don't we have any power? You know, why don't we make any decisions about our lives? And why are we so powerless as men? And why are the young brothers being killed so early? Because many of the men that I came out of high school with and grew up with, they're either dead, in jail, or strung out now, you see. And so the writing began to deal with those subjects. And once I got out of the service, I began to work with the DuSable Museum of African American History with Margaret Burroughs and Charles Burroughs in Chicago. And that was the first real library that I came across that had a very substantive amount of black literature and black history. And from that point on, it would just keep on moving.
You just heard Haki Mahabuti explain some of the reasons he began writing radical or black nationalist literature. Mahabuti's most famous works include books of poetry, Think Black, Black Pride, Don't Cry, Scream, and Book of Life. He also has to his credit two lengthy essays, From Planet to Planet and Enemies or Clash of the Races. Now to Mahabuti's forte, poetry. You'll hear him read one of his longest and most popular works, Rise, Mission Coming.
There's quietness here. Time to regroup. Time to rethink, time to reassess the world we think belongs to somebody else. There is quietness here. Time to create an African mind. Trying to create a black mind in a European setting, Chaka. If he had called the blood African 4 years ago, he would have had his whole family out for the kill looking for a crazy Negro, an un-American, a communist, a know-nothing, tree-swinging jungle waker. But there is quietness here. Shooting for the 21st century with 19th century weapons while the white boys walk on the moon and Negroes run down the moon lounge on hot pants night. We some bad diamond wares, you bad brother. Barely taught, barely situated, and barely organized, but there is quietness here. Time to re-educate. Time to redirect our limits, super. Time to stop being the butts in the undefined, unfinished sentences of the flesh eaters. He's a first-class doctor, but he's colored. She's one of the best teachers ever, but she's Negro. He's a fine worker, but he's black, but there is quietness here. We are what we are. We are what we are not. We are what we are going to be. We are what we are, the reflection, the image, the backward word, world of what? The substance of that we must become, the positive side of coming. Send Roy Wilkins to Africa if he don't act African. Think him have more wisdom than the OAU, a real credit to his race. Bad credit, a piece of 15th century science fiction talking about his mama as if she was the enemy. Of a real beaten down Negro, unsure of the space he occupies, if he occupies any. Him show not invisible, we see right through him, feel his opposite, a walking backstep, an X-rated movie with blocked vision, but we coming. We are what we are not. Think him Gulf Oil, IBM, or GM, the way you talk about industrializing Africa. If they took the water faucet from him, he'd die of water freeze. Think him Dow Chemical or the Pentagon the way he talk about arming Africa. We're gonna need more than Weinbauer's promises and ray gun dreaming. Think him Harvard or MIT the way he talk about educating Africa. Couldn't even teach a daycare center if it was already taught. We are what we are going to be. Come in, Sam. Come in, Willie. Come in, Mabel. Come in, Jesus, Melinda, Pepper. Now you different. Come in, rise. Rise and come in and talk about doing it yourself, huh? About institutionalizing your thoughts, your actions. Come in, rise to claim the tradition and collective culture of your world. Come in, rise. Get on up, Junebug. Beat evil back in the cold, Zimbabwe. Expose the enemy for Limo. You're going to do it, Angola. Rise. Rise and now you different blood, new, stronger. Stronger than storm, bigger, better, better than bad for the Negro in $50 shoes. Come and run and call you swift, call you fast, faster. Fast and stolen barbecue in a Baptist meeting on last Sunday. Come and live the land that purity of the first humans is in you. Come and rise. Get on up. Dash on, flashing, dodging skyscrapers, vacant lots, and evil highs with a conscious feel for earth, for land, for yourself. Come and rise. Transforming, reborn, we nurturing in purpose and goodness in direction new. You dynamite, Messiah. Where'd you arrive from, Kakuyu? Where you been hiding, Rastafari? In which way, Zwapo? Which universe did you craft through new art? Call you speed, speeder. Make your own gas. Create your own energy. Dig an escape hatch into us. Rise. Redirecting our focus, calling ourselves Africans, calling ourselves African men and women, calling ourselves builders of the first, calling ourselves styles of tomorrow, the shape to come, shaper. Coming 21st century, fly, golden antelope, the black lion is you, Simba, and the world. And the world is still here, still evolving, even the devil can't stop that. Gave us the worst enemies ever, ain't never seen nothing like the Europeans, lost their taste for life living, but they can't stop higher vision. Can't stop new rising right talking, getting it done. Africans can't stop organized builders of righteousness. Pull the fight together, Guinea-Bissau. We with you, Southern Sudan. Fight on running wise, Mozambique. Jump, quit lightning for Lindsay. Teach Anaire. Watch our backs. Our siege for guide our future. Lumumba, describe our enemies. Garvey, we coming. Toure, coming. PIGC gonna surprise the world. Surprise our fathers, Malcolm. We have more than mouth, more than fast talk, more than Harvard rhetoric. We are coming. We are what we are. We are what we are not. We are what we are going to be. Coming. Coming. Rise and rise into a higher beat of African movement. Coming fast. Dancing hard. Making sense. Remembering Sharpeville. Remembering Orangeburg. Coming. Remembering yesterday's planet. Rise out of the earth. Fast. Challenging new thoughts. Challenging concepts of false gods. Coming. Rise. Elevator up, Juju. Black world vibrations beating us into each other. Rise. Coming. Rise through visions of African love. Rise. Coming. Feet get back. Negative. We coming. Shine. Fighting through space, sun, and sliding coast as expected. Coming. Nationalists coming. Christians coming. Muslims coming. Pan-Africans, ancient black spirits coming. Coming. Rise. Booba, rise. Brothers, rise. Sisters, rise. People of the summer coming. 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 We are here. Quick. Gathered. Gathered to save the future for our children.
You've heard a personal account of the life and work of Afro-American poet and essayist Haki Mahabuti on the literary corner, Black Writers of the World. Our operator has been Bob Cham. I'm Pam Johnson. The Literary Corner was made possible by funds from WHA Radio, Madison, Wisconsin, a service of the University of Wisconsin Extension.